Hey everybody, welcome in to the South Lot Football Guys podcast. We are back here for the week 12 episode. Can't believe we're basically three quarters of the way through the regular season at this point. It's really chugging along. It's just a duo today. Me and Robbie are here. We're without Adam, but we've got his picks here. We're going to keep everybody informed. But Robbie, how you doing? You ready for week 12?
Yeah, ready for it. Yeah, sorry, you guys, you got the B team this week. Bob and Evan, B. There you go.
Bzz. As we go.
But, yeah, feel pretty good, you know. We're just keep rolling on this eliminator, you know, spoiler alert here, but we got some decisions this week.
Yeah.
Definitely some big decisions.
Yeah, if you're still alive in an eliminator, it's definitely starting to get to that point where it's getting pretty tough. So we'll break that down for you as well. But yeah, you know, this is usually about the time we start feeling a little bit better. You know, about the slate, we start getting a feel for these teams. And last couple of weeks, I've had some, you know, pretty good weeks against the spread. You know, starting to get a feel a little bit. So a lot of injuries though to keep track of. So you definitely want to. Want to make sure you're up to date on the injury report, and you know, you're giving these teams a watch. Maybe if they've got a different quarterback, and see how the new guy's playing. But with that, why don't we break down our Week 11 performance with the locks? So starting it off, Adam had Chiefs -3 in last night's game.
So I missed.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Chiefs really had that game all along until. You know, late, really that second half, and the Chiefs have had trouble scoring in the second half all year long. We might need to consider that for the quarter corner.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely, like, bet against them second
half.
Yeah,
I know you
were
on the third quarter last night.
Yeah,
with the Eagles.
Took live Eagles third quarter money line, and yeah, that paid out pretty well. Yeah. So, yeah, that's just, they don't have receivers I could catch.
No.
Yes, just stone hands.
Yeah.
Kadarius Toney somehow could catch a ball last night, but it hasn't always been the case this year. It's
Rashee Rice doesn't run a route further than like 4 yards downfield. Yeah.
Strictly red zone throws.
Yeah. It's a strange passing offense they got right now. It's like Jerick McKinnon and like Gray and Watson, the backup tight ends out there. Yeah,
Watson was popping off. I mean,
he was. But
the only guy that could catch.
Yeah, yeah.
I was surprised the Chiefs didn't like make a move at the trade deadline for anybody. Because I know, like, what, like at least Mike Evans, like he was.
There were a few guys available.
His last year of contract, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised they didn't make a push for him.
Boy, that'd be a good fit.
I mean, I thought that would be a phenomenal fit.
Somebody, you know, take the deep ball for him, but. Yeah, so that was a tough one. God, if the Chiefs could have done anything, or if Watson, or I'm sorry, if MVS catches that deep ball, that's a big hit for Adam. So that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
Robbie, the quarter corner master, Chargers first quarter -0.5. Nice job.
That was scarier than it should have been.
Well, it's better than betting the Chargers for the full game. That's for sure.
Yeah, that is true. Definitely true. The late first quarter field goal just made it happen. And what the hell was Staley doing calling a timeout with 2 seconds left of the quarter? Come on, man.
Ridiculous.
First play of the second quarter fortunately is when the Packers scored the touchdown, so it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Brendan Staley continues to just, you know, wreck my brain every week. Just so bad.
That man just perplexing.
They need to shoot that man into the sun. Just get him away from that roster. Get him away from that quarterback. That's trouble in LA.
Nobody could catch that team either besides Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Quentin Johnson sure can't, that's for sure. It has been a tough road for the Chargers this year as you know, they've just lost close game after close game, but that's really been their MO for quite some time now. All right, finally, I had Dolphins -12.
So I missed.
This really should have hit. The Dolphins were sitting on 20-13 and had like three or four different possessions to go down the field and score on that Raiders defense, and they just didn't. So, you know, kudos to the Raiders D for keeping that game close and giving them a shot down the stretch. But, yeah, a little disappointed with the Dolphins. And, you know, they're not looking too awesome here the last few weeks. There's definitely
no,
you know, they're not bulletproof by any means. So we'll have to see if they improve down the stretch. But
it's almost like they're just looking forward to this divisional game against the Jets.
Yeah, it might have been a look forward moment for them. But yeah, they I don't know. We'll see. I'm interested to see them play another team above 500. We'll see if they actually show up this time. But yeah, Dolphins minus 12 did not work. But Dolphins money line in the Eliminator did in fact work for us. So that was big. That was, you know, we're still alive in this big Eliminator challenge. So it's going to get tough for us this week, and we'll break that down for you later. As for our parlay, Robbie, we had the Chargers first quarter money line into the quarter corner. We had the Eagles and Chiefs under 45.5. And we had the Cardinals plus 5. Draw.
I wish I had the draw.
Yeah,
draw.
We don't have the draw, but
that's a shame.
Yeah, I almost wonder. I think Adam might have gotten it into the book at 5.5 based on the payout we got. It kind of seemed like it, but yeah, it was.
I don't know. The math is showing that
is the math
just with the parlays. It's probably helps that we got a little extra juice on the first quarter.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Okay. Yeah,
so
but
it's fine.
So we pushed on the Cardinals, but the other two hit. So, yeah, back into a winning parlay. So we'll look to keep that going as well. Final. The last thing we got to make sure we touch on here, the Bro Sala beard conundrum. You know, last week it was jet black. Now it's completely gone. And it didn't help his team at all. They still got absolutely waxed by the Bills. So, you know, we'll see if he, you know, magically gets it to grow back this week. Who knows, you know, what he's got cooked up for the Thanksgiving holiday. So we'll see on Friday how he looks. But, yeah, that was interesting. He must have got some bad feedback.
Somebody had to have told him.
Like, this looks
this
awful.
Looks awful, man.
Yeah, this just looks absolutely awful. All right, let's get right into week 12 here. We're starting it off with our Thanksgiving games. So kicking us off here, like we do every year, it is the Packers heading into Detroit to take on the Lions. And the Lions are 7.5-point favorites at home here, over under 47.5. This one's an interesting matchup. Lions, last couple games haven't looked great on the defensive side of the ball. You know, giving up 26 points to the Bears and, what was it, 35 or 38 to the Chargers 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, they've had some rough games here of late. The Bears had possession in that game of over 40 minutes on Sunday. And so we'll see if the Lions can get that offense going again and do a little bit better with ball control and do a better job of getting off the field on defense. But I'm actually going to take the Packers here plus the 7.5. Short week. You know, Packers, I think the last couple weeks have been playing better. Obviously, they got a big win last week against the Chargers to keep, you know, slim season hopes alive. So they're not completely dead yet, but I'm just thinking there's a lot of room for a backdoor cover here. I don't feel great about it, but if there's any side I think I like, I would go Chargers, Packers with the points. Robbie, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling the same way with you. Take Packers with the points. I'm not confident in that. It's just the script of this game seems like the Lions are going to probably get off to a hot start. And in order for them to cover 7.5 points, that seems like a pretty high number right now to me. Divisional game. They're going to have to really put their foot on the gas a lot more than they did last week. Packers, you know, they've always, this whole year, they've been showing, you know, when the game script goes out the window, Jordan Love is at his best. So, you know, I can see the Packers coming back second half of the game. Lions starting off hot, but I think it could come within a score. I'm not super confident with this, to be honest. I mean, big news on the Packers side, Aaron Jones out, so they've got some struggles running the ball, or they will. They've got, what, A.J. Dillon? They had another running back who went down. I can't even remember who it was.
Yeah, it's going to be a heavy dose of Dillon on Thursday, though.
He's going to be getting a lot of turkey, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're going to need a big game out of him if they have any chance in this game. But, yeah, it's kind of a mixed bag on the offensive side for the Packers. But, you know, the defense, they did well holding the Chargers to just 20 at home last week. And so we'll see if they're able to have better luck this week than the last time they played the Lions, when the Lions just absolutely, you know, destroyed them in Green Bay. So that said, though, I still think too many points.
I don't know how much it was the Packers defense holding the Chargers to 20 or the Chargers offense holding them to 20,
yeah,
to
yeah,
be honest.
Shooting themselves in the foot constantly.
Just nobody could catch the ball.
Yeah.
Except for Stott. What is that tight end's name that was came in for Gerald Everett?
Oh, yeah.
Start?
Stott? Yeah, I thought it was like Start.
Start?
Yeah.
Two T's?
Yeah, that's...
Well, three T's total.
That Chargers team. We'll talk about them later, but that might just be an auto fade at this point. All right, next game up. Oh, Adam is on the Lions this week, by the way. He likes them.
Not confident.
Not confident, like the rest though. Of us. Yeah, no confident play. So he's digging the Lions, which I can understand given how well they played them the last time they played in Lambeau. All right, next up, it's the Washington football team taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys are 11 point favorites at home here. Over under in this one set at 48.5. Got Cowboys are one of the hottest teams in the league right now. Robbie, what are your thoughts here?
My thoughts in this game is minus 11. I do not feel any doubt that the Cowboys will cover this one. I think the Cowboys are just cooking too well right now. They're able to. They're starting to get the ball moving on the ground a little bit. I mean, that's still been their kind of struggles this whole year. That defense is still phenomenal. The amount of pick sixes they have is just unreal, really. And, God, that team just looked like they struggled so bad against the Giants. That was a great spot for them, and they just couldn't get it done. It at least seems to, when the team's defense, when they tried to away their big defensive line pieces, seemed like for the first game, the new guys coming in, you know, they got a little jump start, you know, they're a little amped up, but then that kind of quickly faded and they're kind of not as good as you kind of would have thought. So I think the Cowboys are going to be able to jump all over this team, and, you know, it's going to be a rough going for Sam Howell and the bunch.
Yeah, that was a tough look for the team last week against the Giants. Saquon just, you know, absolutely dominated that game. They had no answer for him. I'm actually going to go with the team here plus 11 points. I just think it's a lot of variability there that you're getting with Howell. You know, when you get the version of him that plays the Eagles, he's basically got like 150 quarterback rating and he can't miss. Yeah. you know, talk about a guy that can look different on any given game day, but I just think, you know, he might get up for this game, and if he does, and if that offense is clicking, that passing game can move the ball with, you know, quick passes, beat the rush, you know, they should be able to keep this game within 11 points. It's a lot. I have no doubt that the Cowboys should win this game, but it does just feel like a little bit... too much points for me. You know, the other thing I'll say is, you know, Washington, especially last week, really they got burned, you know, on the ground, and it opened up, you know, the rest of the offense for play action for DeVito that allowed him to have some success. But the Cowboys really haven't been able to run the ball that well this season. So I think if those struggles continue, we could see a similar type of outcome here where the Cowboys, you know, are unable to run the ball, maybe forced into some third and longs, and that team defense is able to get off the field. So I'm going to take team with the points. I'm not confident on it, but, you know, just feels like a little bit too much for me to back the boys on Thursday. Adam is right there with you, though, Robbie. He's loving the Cowboys this week, minus 11. No confident play, though. All right, final game of Thanksgiving Day. It is the San Francisco 49ers heading into Seattle to take on the Seahawks. Seahawks are 6.5-point home underdogs here. The over-under is at 43 right now. Robbie, I see you got another confident play here. Why don't you break it down?
Yeah, to me, divisional game number 3 right now. These are divisional games are always a little tougher. You know, since they know each other well, it can be a little tough. But I still feel pretty good about laying down on with the points on the Niners in this one. Seahawks, you know, a little banged up over there. You know, big injury to Kenneth Walker. What was it? Oblique. Not sure on the timeline. I haven't heard of anything.
Doesn't
yet.
Seem like he's going on IR, but it's like week to week.
Yeah. So we'll see how they bounce back against that. But to me, I think the Niners, the X factor for the Niners is getting Debo back. It seemed like they needed him, just that extra guy out in the field that to help open up Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey even out in the flats and really get this whole game going. So I could just see the Niners just running all over the Seahawks team. A Seahawks team that honestly didn't look good at all against the Rams last week. I thought they'd play a lot better than what they did, but they just look flat-footed, and it's basically their defense pulling them up. But, you know, this Niners defense is as good, if not better. I'd actually definitely say they're better than the Seahawks team, and I think this Niners team can just take it to them. So I like the Niners minus 6.5. So I'm going to be playing that on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I definitely lean Niners with you here. You know, last week, obviously, Geno was out a good portion of that game. So you had the Drew Lock offense. But my biggest issue with the Seahawks right now is their red zone offense is bad. They are just not converting inside the 20 at all when they get down there. And it seems like whenever they got to fit a pass into a tight window, they're just not set up to succeed there. And they seem to get away from the running game inside the 22. So, not thrilled with the way the Seahawks are just not converting those red zone opportunities into 7 points. And, you know, when you're playing against the Niners, you absolutely need to capitalize. Yeah. I think as of this point, there's still some... You know, it's still up to be determined whether or not Geno's going to play, too. Seems like there's an outside chance he's unable and Locke might go. So you're going to want to monitor that. I think right now the market's pricing it as if Geno is playing. That said, though, I like the Niners. The only reason I'm not confident in it is just how well the Seahawks defense has been playing. And it's a huge game. That crowd will be going nuts. So maybe the emotion of that is able to you know, keep the score low, and that defense is just able to, you know, play their ass off. But for me, I don't see the Seahawks, you know, being able to win this game, and I think there's a much bigger chance, especially if Geno is hindered or out, that the Niners just blow the doors off of them. So I'll take the Niners minus the 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, all reports are pointing towards Geno playing. I think Pete Carroll even said that. But I just, yeah, how healthy is he going to be? That's a big question. I know they don't want Drew Lock to go out there.
That's for sure, yeah.
he did not look good.
That 49ers defense would eat him alive. Adam's also on the Niners with us. Not confident, though, so we're all lined up on the Niners. Okay, next up we've got the Dolphins heading into MetLife to take on the Jets, where the Jets are 10-point home favorites, over-under at 41 right now. Big thing to know is that Zach Wilson will not be starting for the Jets on Friday. It'll be Tim Boyle. That's about as much as I can tell you about Tim Boyle. And, you know, should be an opportunity for the Dolphins to get right, considering the struggles you know, the Jets have had the last few weeks. But, you know, maybe the quarterback change can liven things up. I'm going to take the Dolphins here with the 10 points. I think it's a good play. I think, you know, the play I really like in this game that I'm confident on is actually the over 41. I think anytime you get a new quarterback in there with a little less tape, I think that opens up for more variability. And you know, you might see a couple touchdowns as the Dolphins are trying to kind of figure out what the game plan is and get the scouting report on Tim Boyle, who doesn't have as much tape out on him in this offense. That combined with, you know, I think there's a good chance that the Dolphins, you know, are able to get up very early on this Jets team, and that will just open it up for a little bit softer coverage and, you know, maybe some garbage time opportunities to get over that number of 41. I'm thinking this game will be something like 34-13, 34-17. So I'll take the over here, but I think the Dolphins should be able to cover this. Robbie, what are you thinking?
You know what? I'm going to be on the other side. I think the Jets defense is going to be playing well enough. And, you know, well, I mean, Tim Boyle can't be any worse than Zach Wilson was playing, can he?
Yeah.
This Dolphins defense hasn't been one that's been too scary. I mean, they've been able to make it count in moments where against teams that kind of struggle. So maybe they can against the Jets, but they're not that much of a threat, in my opinion. I'm actually kind of leaning towards this being maybe more defensive sided, especially watching the Dolphins struggle a little bit against the Raiders last week. I think I'd lean more on the under, which Adam has as a confidence play. He's also siding with the Jets, so I'm going to try to speak his mind, try to telepathically figure out what he's thinking and. But, yeah, I just think it's going to be more defensive battle. I think, this is going to be an interesting Black Friday game, first one we've ever had. Short, you know, it'll be a short week too, which I don't know if it's true, but I feel like those Thursday nights are a little lower scoring generally, but we'll see. I'd lean under with Adam on this one, but I'd take the points with the Jets, just mostly because I think it's defensive, and 10 points seems like a lot. But then again, Jets against the Bills last week was a lower scoring game, and they still got beat double digit by the Bills. So,
yep.
I'm off this game.
Yeah, I don't know that this will be a close game, but yeah, maybe the Jets defense comes out motivated, and you know, they keep things close. We'll see.
Yeah, I think the big thing for the over would be the Jets being able to score points, which,
yeah.
I'm not sure what to think. This is the first of many new quarterback games. There's a lot of teams this week that have a change of quarterback or could have a change of quarterback, so it's quite a bit to get into, really.
Yep. Next up, our fifth straight divisional game, the Saints are heading into Atlanta to take on the Falcons, where the Falcons are 1-point underdogs at home. Over-under in this one, 42. It seems like Ridder is going to start for the Falcons this week, coming off the bye. And the Saints' quarterback situation, I think, is still a little bit up in the air on whether or not Carr is going to be able to go. We could see Jameis. Robbie, is that what you're seeing?
You know what? Isn't it just concussion protocol for Derek Carr?
Yeah, he was battling
was
shoulder.
Also a shoulder injury
there was shoulder
as well,
too,
right?
But I think that was a little less serious. My thing with this game, so you're gonna have to kind of monitor that, but I like the under if Carr is playing. I like the over if Jameis is playing.
Because absolutely.
If Jameis is playing, you get the turnovers going like crazy. Leads to short fields, and then he just starts slinging it, trying to come back, and you'll get some explosive plays. So if Jameis is playing, you know, hit the over, whatever the number is, you know, up to like probably 45. But right now, you know, if Carr in, I tend to like the under here. I think this will be, you know, a defensive game. especially with Ritter in, they're really going to want to establish the run. I think that's what Arthur Smith has kind of gotten away from these last few games, and you know, they haven't had much success, is just leaning a little bit too much on the pass with Heinicke. So try to go back to that Titan-style offense, heavy run attack, develop play action off that, and we'll see. I'm going to lean Falcons here at home. You know, and I'll say confident on the under if Carr is playing. But Robbie, what are your thoughts?
So assuming you're just like me and assuming that Carr is going to be playing. Right?
I'm assuming Carr is in for now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, this is actually kind of tough with Ritter back in. If it was Heinicke, they didn't win when he started. So I mean, there's a reason why he's not no longer the starter right now, and they went back to Ritter, but. Even still, I like the Saints. I'm not going to be confident on it, though. You know, I just think the Saints defense has been playing too well. And getting Carr back would help make him manage this game a little bit to help the Saints pull off the victory here. I think this will be a close one with Ritter back. I can't explain what he did, but I honestly, that offense looks uglier with Ritter at the helm, but it just gets it done somehow. I don't even know how to explain it.
I really think it's play calling. If they would have ran that same offense with Heinicke, you know, with the heavy run game, it's just they just started spreading it out and airing it out more.
Yeah,
with Heinicke under center, that I didn't really understand. And, so yeah, I don't know what's going on there, but I think a game plan change back to the way that they were going is beneficial to them here. So we'll see, but hopefully, you know, Falcons D can stand up. Carr has not really, you know, looked impressive at all this season when he's played. So I'm thinking we'll have a defensive battle on our hands.
Yep.
All right, Adam is on the Falcons here, but not confident. Okay, next up we've got the Patriots heading into MetLife to take on the Giants, our second MetLife game of the week. Giants are 3.5-point home dogs here, over-under in this one, 33.5. Robbie, you got a confident play in this, which is more than I can say. What's your thoughts here?
Huh. Yeah, this is a fun game, really. I don't think anybody wants to really be part of this game. But, you know, we've got a little question marks on the Patriots side. You know, is Mac – word is that Mac Jones lost trust of the locker room. Is he actually – have you heard reports of him not starting? Because I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything. I feel like they're leaving it intentionally vague.
Oh, I tend to think Zappy's playing.
I've got to imagine Zappy's starting too, right? I mean, he's looked better, but then again, they've done him dirty earlier in the year, like demoting him to
cutting
practice.
Him.
Yeah. Like, and then, okay, you can come back. I don't understand this Patriots team at all.
Yeah, Bill might be out of touch and out of time.
He might be. He might be. But, I mean, got to say, Danny DeVito, he's been looking he's been looking a little better. He's getting a little bit more comfortable on the Giants side, so... 3.5 points for this home team, I think it's too much. I think the Giants are going to keep it close. That's not the confident play I'm in right now. What I like is this over-under of 33.5. That's a low number, but I don't think either of these teams are going to be able to really do a whole lot on offense to get it to even reach 33 points. So I like the under here. You know, DeVito, he's actually slowly getting better each week as far as turnovers are concerned. You know, the Patriots, you know, they're always about trying to limit turnovers. I think you're going to just see a lot of punts in this game. This is going to be a field position game by all looks of it. And, you know, I love this under. You know, I've said it before, unders under what was the – magic number 37, you know.
Yeah,
usually lean under, surprisingly. So I'll take the under. I'll take the bait.
Yeah, you had a good call with that last week with that Steelers Browns under.
Yeah, which, I wasn't like really, you could have teased it. I wasn't sweating that at all.
You could have outlined that under 23 and you know, and still would have pushed. So that was a good call there. I'll have to keep that in mind because you know, with these bad quarterbacks coming in, you know, we're seeing some low totals out there. All right, I'm with you on the Giants. I just think neither of these teams really want to be out there. It's basically a lost season for both. Not feeling great about it, but I'll take the team getting the points. You know, I just don't know what we're going to see here. Part of me thinks, you know, Bill will be able to dial up some defense to really limit what the Giants are able to do. But on the other hand, I don't trust this Pats offense to do anything either. So, you know, this Giants defense, when they don't turn the ball over and put the defense in a tough spot, you know, they've been able to have some decent games. So I'm thinking if they're able to just hang on to the ball, like you said, Robbie, play field position, I think this should be a tighter game and they should be able to cover at home. Adam's not buying it, though. He's on the Patriots, but not confident. So we'll see there. Definitely not going to be a game I have my TV focused on, that's for sure. Next up, we've got the Carolina Panthers heading into Nashville to take on the Titans. Titans are 3.5-point favorites at home. Over-under in this one, 36.5. This one, I'm going to lean Titans here. I don't feel great about it. You know, I think at the end of the day, it's been a couple rough games for the Titans. They had a tough showing against the Jags, and then the Bucks took them to the woodshed as well. So, you know, we'll have to see if they respond at home here. It's been a tough road trip for them. But they're back home. They get a lackluster opponent in the Panthers coming to town. I think in this situation, I just got to bank on the better coach being at home. I'm going to go with the Titans here, -3.5. I got to think they should be able to take care of this one. This Panthers team, you know, feels like a corpse right now. Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, this is going to be this is an ugly game to look at, just on paper even. But I do side with the Titans here. I would feel a lot more comfortable with Titans money line, but probably won't even play that. Got a little something.
Don't even worry about it.
Need a little quick drink of water right here just to keep going right here. All right, sorry. But
back. Jordan
Derrick Henry, last couple of weeks, he's kind of been shut down lately. But he's gone against a couple of good run defenses. Games where it's got out of hand early for the Titans. I think this is a great spot for him to get back. I mean, hell, Tony Pollard was able to put one in the end zone against his team last week, and that run game has not been great. So I like this one. Titans to win this one. I mean, if whenever Derrick Henry has those big blow up games, you know that there is it's got to be like I don't know the exact number, but it's got to be like a 90% chance the Titans come home a winner. And this seems like a perfect spot for it. It's been a while since Derrick Henry's really gone off, and you know we're starting to get to cold weather months where running backs really shine. So I like the Titans to win this. I think 3.5 is a little too much. If it got down to 3, maybe 2.5, maybe. But I'm expecting this to be a low-scoring game in that if I were to take anything, again, I would take the money line for the Titans. But as for Adam, you know, he will take the Titans with the spread here. You know, he's let me try to read a little bit back of what he sent us a little earlier, but Titans are 3-1 at home, coming off a 3-game road trip, and, you know, they should be able to run on that Panthers defense all day. So he's feeling Derrick Henry as well.
Yeah, you know, I think you got this checked out, 1-9 team. Can't imagine that defense is looking forward to tackling Derrick Henry out there. I could see a few business decisions being made by some members of that Carolina defense. Maybe some broken tackles leading to big plays for Derrick Henry. So we're going to bank on that, but I think we're going to talk about this game a little bit later. Next up, we've got the Steelers taking on the Bengals. Bengals are 1-point underdogs at home. Over-under in this one set at 34. I'm big on the Steelers this week. Jake Browning in at quarterback for the Bengals. This is a tough one for the Bengals. Obviously losing Burrow for the year, but they basically run that Rams Super Bowl offense, spread offense, a lot of passing volume, and this is going to be a pretty drastic switch for them to try to lean back on a run game that hasn't really been the most effective for them this year. So, especially going into that Steelers defense, this is one of the best units in the NFL. Steelers are going to be able to pack the box with 8. They're really going to make it tough, and they're really going to be daring the Bengals to go downfield on them here. I think the Steelers got the corners to be able to kind of cover Chase and play to this advantage and match up one-on-one here. So I like the Steelers here. I think maybe they get a little boost on the offensive side of the ball, too, with the Matt Canada firing. We'll see. Maybe, hopefully, there's a game plan shift. I'm looking for the Steelers to kind of answer here in a big way with just a team that's been dealt a tough blow. And, on the defensive side for the Bengals, they have not looked great recently at all. So, if there's a get-right opportunity for the Steelers offense, this might be it. So give me the Steelers confident.
Yeah, I'm confident on the Steelers too. This Steelers defense has been what has gotten them so many wins already this year. What is their record even? I can't. Six and four, which is honestly with how that offense is.
That's a 3-7 offense.
That's absolutely a 3-7 at best, yeah. Offense. Matt Canada firing should definitely give them a little boost, at least on that side of the ball. And, Jake Browning, we're going to see what happens. I was a little unsure, but because, no Steelers don't have tape on him, this might be a good spot for them to just pull out a whole bunch of trick plays, things that Steelers haven't seen before that may be better suited to him than Burrow, though I'm not sure exactly what those would be. I think the Steelers defense is going to be able to take care of business in this one. They're definitely the better team. That offense is at least competent enough. They'll get going at least second half of the game. Maybe throw a long one to Pickens that'll be able to break loose and find the end zone. So, yeah, I like the Steelers. Confident on them as well.
Yeah, Adam's right there with us. He likes the Steelers as well. Confident play. And he's liking the under 34. So he thinks, this is going to play right into the Steelers' hands. Low scoring, grinded out type of matchup.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning under, too.
Yeah, I think I am as well. I watched a lot of Jake Browning in college. He's kind of got like the Chad Pennington mold. Not a big arm. Kind of short to intermediate type thrower.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that it's a great system fit here. I don't know that he's going to be able to go downfield on the Steelers with any success. So, I like the Steelers here.
You know what? I feel like I've had more success on unders this year, so I'll take that. I'm with you. You convinced me, Adam. Thank
Boom.
You.
Boom. Thanks, Adam. All right, next up, we've got the Bucs taking on the Colts. This game's in Indianapolis, where the Colts are 2.5-point home favorites. Over-under in this one set at 43.5. Robbie, why don't you kick it off here?
Oh, man. I for one, am kind of surprised that the Colts are as strong favorites as they are. Kind of weird thing happened this morning. Shaq Leonard got waived from the Colts.
I saw that.
Yeah, I was not expecting that one, but maybe there's something going on behind the scenes that we don't really know about it. But either way, in this game, as far as this game's concerned, I love the Bucks here. You know, I think they're going to win this game. I'm not sure how their dogs, besides being on the road, but they've just looked so much better on offense. Defense is getting healthy, as long as Dean could stay a little healthy on the outside. It seems like he got hurt like three separate times that game on Sunday. This Colts offense, you know, Colts, I believe they're coming off the bye. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I think that's at least playing in their favor a little bit. But I think this defense is going to be able to shut down what Colts have been bringing on offense. And on the other side, I'm not scared of this Colts defense going up against what Baker has done on that side of the ball. Rashad White has been great coming out of the backfield, getting catches, and trying to make some extra yards happen. So Jordan Palmer too, you know, he's grown into a little something on that Bucks team. So I like what they're doing. You know, they're a sneaky team to beat the Buccaneers. Not really dangerous playoffs if you ask me, but they're on the rise.
Yeah, this is I think this is a big matchup of like teams that we're not sure if they're for real or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this Colts team is shockingly like 5-5, still very much alive in a playoff race in the AFC. So, you know, they've been able to pull out some wins this year. But I'm with you. It seems like the Bucs are on the rise. Even that loss against the Niners on the road last week, yeah, I still thought that they hung in there relatively well. They had a couple opportunities to turn that into a one score game late. You know, Baker threw a red zone interception with like 6 or 7 minutes left, but that could have been, you know, a tighter game than it was. I'm going to lean the Bucks here as well, getting the 2.5 points. I think there's a good chance they win this one outright. You know, we've seen Minshew when he's favored. That's not the time to take Minshew. You got to take Minshew when he's down bad, major dog. So yeah,
he's a big dog.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Bucks here, taking the points. I think it's a good spot for them, and I'm thinking you know, they should be able to cover here, but we'll see. I think they're the better team on paper.
Yeah, I'm just kind of looking at the Colts schedule right now, and their wins against Texans, they had a surprise one against the Ravens early on.
Yep.
Against the Titans, which I believe that was the last of Anthony Richardson's game.
Yep.
And actually since then, they have lost, they've beaten the Panthers.
Okay.
And they've beaten the Patriots 10-6.
Yeah, those are pretty ugly wins.
The
good win against the Ravens, inspiring. Good win against the Texans, although very early on in the year. Their wins as of late, have not been as inspiring. So I'm with you. I think the Bucks is the play. If there's a side that you know, I'm guessing is overrated here, I think it's the Colts side.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks like that line too, -2.5. It seems like they're trying to get you to buy the Colts. Vegas wants money on the Colts.
That's what they want.
Nah, not on my watch. All right, Adam is also confident on the Bucks with us this week, and he's buying the over too, which I could see.
I can see that too. You know, Colts defense hasn't been doing too much.
Yeah, on the fast track, I could see this one.
Yeah,
flying over. Okay, next game up, we've got the Jags taking on the Texans. This is a good game. Texans are 1.5 point underdogs at home. Over under in this one is 48.5. I wish I had a stronger take on this. I'm gonna go with the Texans just because, you know, at least the one thing you can say about them is they've been consistent. You know, it seems like they are who they are, and you kind of know what you're gonna get. This Jags team, you know, they can lay an egg at any moment. I'm not sure what team you're getting in any given week. So I'm going to lean Texans here just off the consistency and the way they've been playing of late. I mean, they really struggled on offense last week. Stroud had a few red zone turnovers, and they were able to still stay strong and pull off that game. You know, knew how to put them away late. So good on the Texans kind of winning a game in adversity. Maybe it was a look-ahead moment. Maybe we called that sleepy spot last week, you know. But I think the Texans, you know, if I had to pick a team to win here, I like them to get the W at home.
Yeah. This one I think is going to be a close one. And, you know, I totally agree with what you've been saying. It's tough to trust this Jags team. I've not been able to really trust them a whole lot this year. They do seem like a team that is hit or miss. Texans, they've been solid. I mean, this Jags defense has definitely been picking up a lot more. They've been doing a lot better than what I think people have really noticed with this Jags team. But I guess one play, I haven't really called out a lot of quarter plays, but I do like the Jags first quarter in this one. You know, I think it's about even money line. So I'd take that. Jags on the road come out pretty strong defensively, actually. And Texans defense, they've been very susceptible at home starting off. So I like the Jags money line. That's the only play, first quarter at least. That's the only play I got. I'm leaning on the Jags to finish this off at the end of the game. But honestly, this feels like a coin flip on who's going to win here. I could see it going either way.
All right. Yeah, it should be a fun matchup. I'm looking forward to it. Adam is leaning Texans, but does not have a confident play on this game. So none of us confident in the spread or the total. All right, next up, got so many division games. Rams taking on the Cardinals in the Big Toaster in Glendale. Cardinals are 1-point underdogs at home. Over under in this one set at 44.5. I like the Rams here. They got a big win last week against the Seahawks. You know, kind of a gritty win. They play that Seahawks team well. And, you know, it seems like their defense is able to do just enough in these games to kind of keep it close and let Stafford kind of work down the field and get wins. But, you know, it's been ugly for the Rams this year. That said, though, I don't have a great feel for this game. Definitely not a confident play. But I just feel like the Rams should be able to pull this one off on the road. I'm just going to lean on the coaching experience of McVay and hopefully Kupp and Nakua are just going to be too much for those Cardinals corners on the road here. But I could see this one going anyway. Robbie, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are you're going to see Kyren Williams come back for the Rams, which I think is a boost for that run game. Daryl Henderson's already been waived, that's a very sure sign that he's going to come right off IR and just fit right back in the lineup, which he's been great pass protection, running the ball. He's been very solid, doing exactly what the Rams need to do, and that's exactly why I'm on the Rams side, because this is a team that does exactly what they need to do. Like you said, they're well coached. I am a little nervous about the Cardinals because with Murray coming back, it looks like he's got kind of a chip on his shoulder and trying to prove something. Couldn't get it done last week against the Texans. Texans were able to keep it stout, keep them out of the end zone late in the game. So a little credit to that defense there. But
Cardinals, had they just taken points in a couple of those late drives, could have won
true.
That game.
Yeah, they could have taken some points. They were driving,
the
but yeah. I've got no real feel on this game. I think Cooper Kupp, he's still not sure with an ankle. I think it's a low ankle sprain, something not serious at all. So I think his play is questionable this Sunday, but we'll see. I'm going to lean coaching side. If for what it's worth, Adam actually likes the Cardinals. He's against us here. I think he likes how the Cardinals have been playing lately, how they've kind of been sneaky. which, I mean, they've been a sneaky team.
They have in kind of a low-key stout defense.
Yes, definitely.
This one's a little interesting. I can almost see an under here at 44.5. Kind of a sneaky under. Might be a sharp play. Could be sharp. I might have to check in with brother-in-law Rob on that one. See what he thinks. Our Cardinals insider.
I could see an under too. But again, I love unders. Apparently.
this year down for the unders. Down under. Next up, we've got the Browns taking on the Broncos. Broncos are 2.5-point favorites at home. Over-under in this one, 35. Browns coming off a big win with DTR under center against the Steelers. Broncos, you know, they continue their hot streak. They've now won 4 straight. So two kind of hot teams playing some unconventional ball here. We'll see what this game has for us. But, Robbie, what are your thoughts on this one?
Oh, well, you're going to have to bear with me here for a second. But, I'm on Brown's money line here. I think they're going to pull it off just down the stretch. This defense is just doing a whole lot better. And Broncos just doesn't seem like they can finish strong. But to start off the game, I really love Broncos minus a half in the first quarter. Actually, their money line is probably a little safer option, and it's only minus 115 last time I checked. But because nobody has had a push yet in our lead pipe locks, I don't want to be the first one. So I'm going to go balls out and go Broncos. Did I type in money line? I might have did.
You typed in money line.
No, I meant minus a half. No, we're going. That's not what the sheet says. I'm changing it. But that's going to be my lock.
But it's a lock. No.
Pretty much. It's very unconventional thinking with how well this Browns defense just seems like it's cream of the crop, really, in the NFL. They've definitely been one of the reasons why this Browns team has been so good. But the Broncos at home at Mile High have started off so well at home. And on the other side of the ball, Browns have actually been very bad starting off games. And I'm not entirely sure why, but especially away. This one's actually crazy. They're the worst in points allowed, average points allowed, at average of 13.8.
And in the first quarter?
First quarter.
Wow.
First quarter.
That's crazy.
And the next worst team is the Bills at 7 points. Average, so it's just ridiculous how big that drop off is. But it's almost like the Browns are kind of just living on that talent, that defense, and might just see what the other team has to give them at the start of the game. So they'll allow some points just so they could be able to see all the stuff later down. That's my theory at least. So I love the Broncos first quarter, and I love the Browns to win this game.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm pretty comfortable with that pick, even though I'm heavy on the Browns. I could see just DTR coming out on the road. First road start this year. Maybe it takes a quarter or two to get his feet underneath him. But, yeah, I like Broncos money line or first quarter minus a half. I think that's a good play. Why don't you keep that lead pipe lock button warmed up here for Adam, because Adam's all in on Brown's money line here. He's locking it up.
But it's a lock. No.
And I'll just roll that into my statement, because I love the Browns here plus 2.5 too. I've made a lot of money over the last 2 years on this Broncos team. Anytime they're favored, just taking the other team with the points. You know, even when the Broncos win, they don't win by a lot. It's always tight games. These two defenses, this sets itself up for a tight game with a low total. There shouldn't be a ton of points here. It worked well. I made a ton of money on the Vikings last week with the same philosophy. I love the Browns on the same thought process here. Low-scoring game, defensive battle. I don't expect a ton of points here at all. I think 2.5 points, getting that is a good blessing. Don't be worried that you're not getting three. Just take the 2.5. In today's NFL, you see a lot of games finishing within a 2-point margin. Yeah. So I think the Browns have a great chance to win this game outright, especially if the turnovers go their way on the road. But I don't expect the Broncos to win this game by a big number at all, even if they do. So love the Browns plus 2.5, and I expect them to win the game as well.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely a good call out. I know three is like the magic number, but yeah, these Broncos team could win by one.
Yeah,
they did last week. So
especially in these low total games, there's always room for 1-2 point victories. So
yeah, don't. Yeah, especially kind of what I was talking about earlier with the Titans, how I wasn't even sure if I'd take them at -2.5 if it dropped that much.
Yep.
So yeah, those low totals, yeah, that's. You definitely got to look out for that.
All right. Next up, we've got the Bills taking on the Eagles. Eagles are 3.5-point home favorites. Over-under in this one, 48.5. This game, you know, I don't have a great feel for it. Josh Allen, almost comically, is now declaring that he's back after one solid performance against a quarterback that, you know, should be playing in the Canadian Football League, not in the NFL. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, yeah. Josh Allen channeling his inner Cam Newton. That said, I'm not confident on this. I'm not going to play it. But my thought here is the way the Bills run their offense, the way they like to play, is just to sling it downfield, and that is exactly the way to attack the Eagles. The Eagles would have been in trouble last week if the Chiefs had any wide receivers capable of catching the ball. The Bills do have that. They do have outside options that can make plays. They've got options at the tight end, and they've been running the ball a little bit better. So although I don't love it and I'm not confident on it, my gut tells me that the Bills offense will be able to score on this Eagles defense and keep this game close. So I know the Eagles are hot, but I think especially over that 3-point number, I like the Bills here plus 3.5 points. Robbie, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to side with the Eagles. I think this is a good line. I think it's going to be an Eagles victory at home. This is the big question mark is, you kind of touched on it a little bit, is if that – the new game plan for the Bills offense is really clicking in. This is going to be the test to really see them. So I'm not going to really touch this game, I don't think. But I just think the Eagles are too hot right now. They're in a good spot. I think this 48.5 is a good line. I could see it going over. I could see the defenses balling out and go under. So I think either way you put it, I think we're going to see a good game here Sunday afternoon, and I just think the Eagles maybe win by four. But I think this is some great lines here.
Yeah, this is tough. I would pick the Eagles to win, but I just think I expect it to be tight, and over that key number, I just want a little bit of protection on the Bills because I could see them winning too.
If
Josh Allen really is a big day. All right, Adam is on the Bills as well, but not a confident play. All right, next up, we've got the Chiefs heading into Vegas to take on the Raiders. Raiders are 9.5-point home dogs at this point. Over-under in this one set at 43.5. I love the Raiders here. I'm going to take them a confident play. This is another one, 9.5-point spread. They're asking you. They know you want 10 points. Vegas wants you to take the Chiefs -9.5 because you're getting that 10-point protection. Don't fall for it. Raiders are back home. Their last two games, the Raiders at home under Antonio Pierce, they've been rock solid, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Even last week, the Raiders defense did a great job holding that Miami offense on their home field to just 20 points. That's a big accomplishment in itself. This Raiders defense is for real. Max Crosby should be under consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. Really having a great season. Just an absolute linchpin for that defense. this Chiefs offense, we saw it on Monday night. They got the short week since they played on Monday, but they can't complete a pass down the field because these wide receivers can't hang on to the ball. Everything they do is underneath to the running backs or screen passes to the wideouts, and teams are just throwing two guys at Kelce the whole time. So outside of the red zone, it's really hard for them to get a matchup and get him in space. I'm just a believer here that the Raiders are able to keep this game close, and I think 9.5 points is too much. I fully expect the Chiefs to win here, but I bet it's a tighter game than the spread implies. I will take the under because I don't expect Aiden O'Connell to be able to do much against this very good Chiefs defense either. I love the under in this game, 43.5. That's going to be my lock of the week.
But it's a lock now.
Yeah, I think this Raiders defensive line is going to be able to get after Mahomes, and I think Mahomes will struggle to find wide receivers downfield to take advantage of the Raiders secondary, and I think this Chiefs defense will be able to keep Aiden O'Connell under wraps, and the Raiders are going to have a hard time throwing the ball as well. So I think lower scoring game for sure here in the division. I think 43.5 just way too much. But Robbie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm totally with you on both those aspects. You know, the under and Raiders with the points. I'm jumping ahead of myself right there. You know, this is to be defense. This is why I loved the under last week of the Chiefs Eagles. People just expect, oh, Super Bowl contenders, you know, they got to be doing a shootout, but no, they whole different teams now, especially Raiders last year. You know, you kind of thought of them as more of gun it out to Devontae Adams, run it down with Josh Jacobs, but they're kind of more of a defensive-minded team now. So both these teams are, in my opinion, stronger defensively than offensively, which kind of sounds crazy when you think Pat Mahomes on the Chiefs, but honestly, I think that's true. So I love this under. I think that's a great call, really. And with the under, you know, 9.5 points is a lot. And this Raiders team, they can keep it together, especially that defense. Max Crosby has just been unbelievable. Just, I don't know how he does it every single play, but he's going 110% every single play. That's just unreal. So, yeah, love both. And I think those are going to be some good money hits.
We like it. Adam is on the Chiefs here, but no confident play for him on this game. All right, next up, we've got the Ravens heading out west to take on the Chargers in L.A. Chargers are 3.5-point home dogs here, over-under, and this one set to 47. This Chargers team is just in complete disarray. Joey Bosa now out. So they lose a big weapon on the defensive side for them. You know, we know that they're thin at wide receiver, evidenced by the Quentin Johnston drop that would have won them the game last week. That guy might just be a complete bust.
Yeah, he might be.
This Chargers team is a disaster, though. I can't in good conscience take them, even though they're getting 3.5 points at home. This Ravens, it'll be a Ravens crowd. Who's showing up for this Chargers team in L.A.? They barely
whose
had
house?
People. Whose house? It's not theirs. They barely had more fans than the Bears did, if that. Do you think the Bears had a bigger crowd when we were out in L.A.?
Looking around, it looked like dead on 50-50.
Yeah, it was.
It looked dead on.
50-50 for a terrible Bears team. I bet this Ravens team draws a pretty good crowd here. Give me the Ravens. I don't have a confident play in this game, but I can't back this Chargers team right now. But it also feels like this is the perfect moment where the Chargers would win. It's like as soon as you count them out, as soon as the game doesn't matter, as soon as it feels like they're out of it, that's when they'll pull off some BS win.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter and does nothing for them. So I'll take the Ravens, but no confident play.
Only play I've really got on this game is Ravens first quarter. Gotta just ride it till it dies. Yep. I'm not going to take the spread. I'm going to just take the money line because actually the Chargers been kind of hot coming out of the gate too. So I think the very good odds of the Ravens either winning or pushing. So that's the side I'm on. And I'm going to side with the Ravens -3.5 as well, but I'm not confident in that. Ravens kind of struggled, closed out games, but I mean, if you think about it, Chargers have too. So, which side has done a better job at not closing out games? I don't know. I'll side with the Ravens here. Adam, for one, he's confident in the Ravens -3.5. I think, especially with Joey Bosa being out, that's just going to really open up for the Ravens, and they're going to be able to put it down their throats. And he also likes the over here, 47. Think it too low. Thinking both teams are going to be able to put up points in this game, which I could totally see.
Yep. All right, final game of the weekend. Bears taking on the Vikings in Minnesota. Vikings are 3.5-point home favorites. Over-under in this one, 43. I don't have a great feel for this game. Robbie, I see you have a confident play. Why don't you kick it off?
Yeah, I'm gonna put this as a confident play. I'm siding with the Vikings -3.5. I just really like what Jobs has done.
Josh done a great Jobs job with the iPhone.
He's been doing great with the iPhone, running the ball on the sides, creating new apps, throwing the ball. But the Vikings have been, they've been solid. They've slowly gotten better and better. I know, Evan, you've been loving just pounding Viking spread recently. I know I kind of have too. I kind of cooled off last week when I shouldn't have. I was wrong. But the one confident play I do like is the over. I feel like 43 is a little low for two mediocre defenses. I mean, the Vikings have been getting better, but Fields coming back, I think that's enough to be able to really – he gets that offense moving a lot better than Bajent did. And this offense could move. They're getting healthier. You know, Khalil Herbert's back. Dante Foreman did get injured. I don't think it was serious, but they've got a lot of threats to be able to put up points. I think the Vikings do have as well. From what I've seen, Justin Jefferson, he's still questionable, but they might be holding him off until after their bye week, which is next week, I believe. Or is it week 14? I can't recall. But I'm not completely expecting him to come back, but I think 43 is a little bit too low for two teams that can put up points here. So I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I don't have a confident play in this one. This is the first week. I won't be confident on the Vikings in, 3 weeks or so. I'm going to lean Vikings here -3.5. Seems like the Bears just always find a way to get in their own way these days. I don't hate the over call. I think if I was going to lean one side, it would be the over. You know, this Bears defense has been playing better, but they just don't seem to know how to close out a game. And if they are up, they get in prevent defense, but they don't know how to keep teams out of the end zone. Playing that style either. So even if they're up, there's a good chance for the Vikings to come back. Only reason I'm not confident on the Vikings this week is I think you started to see a little bit of the scouting catching up to the Vikings in Dobbs last week. I won on the Vikings, but I kind of feel like I got away with one. It felt like the Broncos really outplayed them more than, the 1-point game would suggest. And, I was on +2.5, and I would have got burned if they would have got that 2-point conversion at the end of the game. So, I don't know. I'm a little weary of maybe the Vikings' luck is running out here. So I'm going to stay off them this week. Bears have been looking better. So I think there's a chance the Bears come out and surprise here. But don't have a great feel either way. So I'll lean Vikings. You see Adam, though. Adam's on the Bears. With the 3.5 points, but no confident play. All right, just a quick recap then of our locks. Adam is on Browns money line. Robbie, you got Broncos first quarter minus a half against the Browns. And then I'm on Raiders Chiefs under 43.5.
Have we ever had two lead pipe blocks in the same game aside from like playoffs? I don't think we have.
No,
that's fun.
Yeah,
it's like two different sides. See, too.
There's a first thing fun. First for everything here on the pod.
We might have done like a spread and a over under at some point.
Yeah,
might have to check that up. That's a lot of weeks to go through.
Yeah, we've been doing this for a while now.
You know what? I kind of forgot to mention earlier about a Thanksgiving parlay.
Go for it.
You know what? Because I'm sure people want to be doing something other than talking to their family on Thursday, you know. But what I do love is a first quarter money line parlay of all the favorites, really. Lions, Cowboys, and Niners. All these teams come out to hot starts. Packers are definitely one team that comes out to slow start. The team also come out slow. Seahawks, they're a little more middling, but the Niners are just way too overpowering. So I like the money line. So if you get a push, you know, it's okay. It's right now, when I last checked, it was like plus 210 for this parlay. A push probably would pull it down to like even odds, which is fine. But that's your kind of potatoes and gravy right there. But, you know, if you're looking for something with a little more meat on it, you know, go for the spreads there. I know I'm going to at least be feeding my eggs into the money line, more in the money line one. But I'll do a little on the spread, you know, just to make it a little juicier. So that's what I got for our Thursday, at least. That's what I like.
You're feeding your eggs. Hopefully, you know, you don't have to buy more eggs, or hopefully it's not a nude egg, but we'll see. All right, so let's do quickly here the eliminator. We are going to back the Titans this week, -3.5 against the Panthers. You know, we've used up a lot of the good teams, so there aren't a lot of great options here. Just gotta think Titans are due for a bounce back here, and you know, being at home, Derrick Henry, get right game. Hopefully Vrabel, you know, can out-coach Reich here. But we'll see. We're kind of holding our breath with this one.
Yeah. The other options that we really had were Vikings, which Vikings, Buccaneers, Patriots. Were there any real other strong contenders that we had for this? I don't think so.
Yeah, we were looking at Bucks, Steelers, Browns, Steelers. Yeah, it's ugly out there this week, though.
We're thinking about maybe saving the Steelers, assuming, and, you know, God, this just seems like a Titans bounce back, right?
Yeah.
You got to get this done against the Panthers at home. They got it, right?
I'm hoping so. We'll see. Let's talk about a parlay here. You know, we're all confident on Steelers, Bucks, and Browns. So I'm thinking we've got those options. But to be honest with you, Robbie, I kind of want to keep throwing the quarter corner in until it loses. Ooh, so if we can parlay Broncos first quarter with a Browns money line, and then I'll let you pick Steelers or Bucks.
Ooh, you know what? The Browns-Broncos... That parlay might actually end up
like juicing more,
getting a little more juice on it too. So, well, that might mess up our spreadsheet a little bit, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
So you're thinking those two, and then
I can't walk away from the quarter corner.
Okay, well, we'll stick with it then. And then other options, we're all agreeing on the Steelers and the Buccaneers. I, for one, I like the Buccaneers here. I don't know if you want to take points with that, or would you rather have Steelers?
That
could go either way, to be honest.
Yeah. Let's go Bucks. Let's go Bucks. Get an extra couple points, 2.5 points there. Go for the 2.5. Little room for insurance if something weird happens, but... I think that's a good play. We'll double-check to make sure that we can put this in legally, and if we can't, then we'll add the Steelers in.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fine
in place of either Browns money line or the Broncos first quarter. All right, so that'll do it for the pod then this week. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We will be back next week. Hopefully report back on some winners, though, for the week 13 episode. But, you know, we'll play it out here. You know, Robbie, any final thoughts?
Oh, not really. Gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble. Well, we hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. Get your bets in early. Hopefully everybody's got some success, and hope everybody gets to spend some time with loved ones this week. Thanks for listening. Take care.